Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson, Pete Briscoe. That's an Andy Benoit joke. We're going to break down some of the action from week three of the NFL season, now wrapped up thanks to the Falcons thumping the defenseless Saints on Monday night. Pete, we're also going to recap our picks, because not a good week for picks, huh?
Bad week.
Very bad week.
Bad September. In fact, in my picks column this week, I say, goodbye to September, hello October.
It can't be much worse.
It can't get any worse.
Three of our experts are above 500 against the spread. Me, myself, I'm 27-20-1 after a – I went 12-4 in week two, and then 8-7-1 against the spread in week three. 8-7-1 feels like you're just happy you survived, because it was just a bad week all around. And you and I were talking before we started, but there were a bunch of games where it flipped at the last second. Like, the Packers should have blown out the Lions. And Marvin Jones late touchdown, they cover, Green Bay runs out the clock. The Chargers should have covered against the Colts. Andrew Luck, jailbreak to T.Y. Hilton. The Chargers can't tackle anybody. They find new creative ways to lose every week. The Jaguars beating the Ravens, should have beaten the Ravens. They can't get that. They get a blocked field goal, and as soon as they did that, you knew that it was over. Tennessee could have covered against Oakland, but Tennessee might just be terrible because Mike Mularkey's terrible. I'm trying to think. There are a couple more. I might have gone 0-5 in my best bets, too. I know you did.
I did. It was 0-5 in the contest. And it got so bad, Will, that I actually have considered using my cat to make my picks.
You should do that. I think Dave Damashek at NFL.com does Football Baby. And Football Baby does particularly well against the spread. And then our boys, Big Cat, Barstool Big Cat, or Dan Katz, and PFT Commenter use a goldfish named Larry to make picks. And Larry does fairly well, I think. Again, he does better than Dan does.
See, the problem with me is my cat's a lot like me. He's actually a really...
Loves the road favorites?
No, he's a nice cat. But deep inside, he's a son of a bitch. And nobody messes with him. And he has gone through a health scare like I did in August.
Yeah.
But he's a tough son of a bitch, and he fights through it just like I did. So
he's a very tan cockroach. You can't kill him.
I mean, he's 16. He's 16. He's fighting through. You know, I'm not. And I guess in human years, that's like 100. But he jumped up. Door knob, you saw him when he jumped up on the video.
That's right. We've had an appearance from
2 weeks later. He was in the hospital. And now he's back running around again. The guy, you know, he's just a fighter like I am. So I'm thinking, if he picks four of me, he's probably going to pick the same crap I've been picking.
You should pick four of them and then let him pick one.
You know how
you put a cat treat on one. You get put a cat treat on one, and then just, if it gets hot, all of a sudden people will ride that cat. I'm telling you, like, people do not give a crap who it is that's getting hot. If you're warm when you're making your picks, if you're a cat, people will ride that.
I might take like one of the games this week and put a tuna on one game and like a cat treat on the other. See which one he goes to. And then that one will be the pick.
You should you're not on Snapchat, obviously. You should do that on on Facebook or something. If you could do Facebook Live of the cat making the picks. That'd be kind of cool.
I'll just film it and then they can do with what they want with
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah, send it in. I mean, I personally think that's a great idea. By the way, so just as a reminder for people who like the Roughing the Passer podcast, we do Tuesday with me and Pete. And then Thursday with me, myself and Nick Costas will be making picks for the coming week. You can subscribe via iTunes and leave a review and a comment if you want. Stitcher, I don't know if you can do Roku or whatever, but you can if you have Roku and the Apple TV. You can listen to or watch Pro Football Rundown every night at 8 p.m. You're tired of these terrible TV programs. You're looking for some fresh content. You can watch Pro Football Rundown. We have a group of rotating guests. We've seen Jason Lock and Forrest Child emerge in one of these shows. Your cat has popped up in one of these shows, and at some point, I'm assuming my 2.5-year-old will wander onto the set at Casa de Brinson, Mansion de Brinson, as you guys like to point out.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to have the cat pick the Bears Lions game, and you know he's going to pick the Lions.
because of
he's a lion.
Oh, I was like, the lion smell like tuna fish.
I want to, the bears actually stink like tuna fish.
They do stink like tuna fish.
Hey, I want to say this though, for all, everybody who's working at CBS Interactive who might be listening to this, watch out when you walk out. There's a cat out in the front, and man, that cat will attack you. He's a hissing cat.
There's a dangerous cat out front of Fort. See, I haven't been down to Fort Lauderdale this year. I haven't been down in a while.
Walked out the other night about 10 or 9:30, and that thing was hissing at me like crazy.
I pee my pants, man.
He's got some. Babies, I think that's why he's protecting her. She does, but anyways, yeah. So pick stink. Time to you know what I like to say, Brinson. October, September is a feeling out month.
Yeah, sure.
For everybody in the NFL, October is when you start getting momentum. November is when you emerge as a contender, and December is when the pretenders fall off and the contenders are there.
Well, that's very much like the coach would say. If you listen to Bill Belichick, it's four different seasons. You know, like you don't operate in the course of one 16-game season. You know, you have four-game seasons, and you know it's okay not to be 3-0, but it's good to be 3-0 now, which leads me to, and I think this is a nice transition, the 3-0 teams in the NFL. Let's take the Patriots off this list, because we talked, I mean, not like they're not fantastic, but they've done this without Tom Brady. It would be a stunner if the Patriots won less than 13, 12 games. I mean, they're 4.5-point favorites against the Bills this week. Rex Ryan just got his team amped up for the Cardinals. What would be a bad number for the Patriots in terms of number of games to win at this point?
10. They're going to win 13.
If they win 10, they had a terrible season. That means
they're going to win 13.
Yeah,
they're
that means they went 7 and
I'll be shocked. If they don't win 14, I will be astounded.
Yeah, I mean they're in the catbird seat for the
That was the easiest pick in the world last Thursday, and I didn't put it in the contest because you got to get those Thursday ones in too early. So
I was going all dogs. I had the Patriots in there originally, but then they were 1-point favorites, and it messed up my headline, so I had to take them out and put in the – I think I put in the Falcons instead, maybe the Broncos instead. So I won one.
The Texans were, you know, who we thought they were in that game. That's, you know, that's a bad game
all
for them.
But let's look at
as far as the undefeated teams, look, the Patriots are going to win 14 games.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying let's take out the Patriots because they're not – it's not surprising that they're 3-0. But I think the other four teams that are 3-0 – are kind of surprising. I think it's just five of them. The Ravens.
Schedule.
They haven't played anybody. I mean, Bills, right. Browns, and Jaguars. That's it. Look, that's what you get when you finish in low in the division. But, I mean, that's a really good schedule to start. Do you buy that the Ravens are a legitimate bounce-back team this year after their 3-0 start?
You know, I'm watching. I was just watching them on tape against Jacksonville, and Brandon Williams and Timmy Jernigan are playing unbelievable football inside. C.J. Mosley's playing really good football, and Weddle's playing good football. So, you know, up the middle, they're really good on defense.
And that's interesting though, because that's different than how they've operated as a defense in the past. You know, like you talk about in baseball, you have the catcher and the pitcher, shortstop, second base, center fielder. That's how you win in defense. But the Ravens have always kind of attacked on the outside, right?
Well, they've always had pass rushers, and you know, Suggs and Dumervil are going to get back going again too. And when they do, those down guys are really good. And Pierce, the undrafted kid's playing well for him in the middle as well. They're going to be good on defense, and Weddle just solidifies everything in the back end. Anybody who thought he was older and slowing and everything else is way off base. The guy's playing really good football. So I think defensively they're going to be tough all year. They're going to be a fight. I worry a little bit about the offense, and you know, Flacco didn't look great the other day. Made a couple of good throws, but didn't look great. They got two rookies on the offensive line starting on the left side. They're eventually going to be good players, Lewis and Stanley, and that'll be shored up by the end of the season because I think both of them are going to be good. But they've had a little bit of a rough go of it at times. And then, you know, Mike Wallace dropped a touchdown pass last week that would have put him up, you know, big early in the third quarter. So all in all, am I surprised at 3-0? Not considering the schedule. Do I think they're a contender? No.
Really? So you still have them as the third best team in that division?
Yeah, Cincinnati is better and Pittsburgh is better. I mean, Cincinnati, they're, you know, you flip the schedules around and play, they play Cincinnati's schedule and Cincinnati plays theirs. Cincinnati's undefeated and they're probably might be 0-3.
All right, so how did the Ravens come out of, because I think that their bye is, it's late, I believe. So they have the Raiders and Redskins at home, and then the Giants and Jets on the road in the next 4 weeks. What are we saying about the Ravens 4 weeks from now? Raiders, Redskins at home, Giants, Jets.
I think they'll beat the Raiders this week because the Raiders are playing consecutive road games. They get them in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll beat the Raiders. Then it's the Redskins at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should beat the Redskins too. 5-0 would be the worst 5-0 team we've ever seen,
except for the Chiefs, right?
The Chiefs every year. What?
At the Giants and at the Jets.
That's a loss, and that might be a loss. So it'd be 5-2.
That's still pretty good. I mean, if you're 5-2, if you're the Ravens, you're very much in the mix.
Yeah, but give the Bengals that schedule.
Yeah, Bengals are 7-0.
They beat the Jets already at New York, so that you got to give them that one. Then they'd might have a tough time. No, they'd be 7-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It'd be 7-0. It wouldn't be close, I don't think. And then they get the Steelers and the Browns at home, at the Cowboys, home against the Bengals, home against the Dolphins. Tougher games down the stretch,
right,
for the Ravens. So we'll kind of find out.
They're going to be in the playoff mix because of their schedule.
Right, exactly. And look, that's what happens sometimes when you win 4 games and you get to bounce back. So the Ravens, very much a contender from that perspective. No doubt the Vikings are a contender, right? I mean, like, this is a legitimate 3-0
team. I had them making the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, I know you did.
Even after Teddy went down,
we've yelled a lot about Adrian Peterson and Sam Bradford, but I mean, I think we both agree that this defense is nasty, like the best defense in the league, maybe.
It's violent. It's fast. It's athletic. It's smart. It's tough, and it's run by a great coach in Zimmer. I mean, you know, look, he's not the defensive coordinator George Edwards is, but he's a hell of a coach, and. You know, it took a long time for him to get a job, and he's proven everybody wrong that didn't want to hire him. And I've known Mike for a long time, and I'm a big believer in Mike Zimmer as a head coach. I like the way he handles himself. I like the way he handles his team. He, you know, doesn't take himself too seriously. But defensively, you throw bodies in there. I mean, they got waves of them. You know, the Hunter kid, people don't realize, and I've been saying for, you know, since, you know, the end of the year that he was going to have a chance to be a breakout player this year. He's really playing well. You know, you get, you know, Griffin had 3 sacks, and then you keep Sharif Floyd didn't even play. I mean, you know, so
Linville Joseph is a big dude in there.
And then they bring Tom Johnson in there, and he's a good player. I mean, they got tons of body. Robeson is a good player.
And then Anthony Barr hadn't even had a breakout game this year, hasn't he?
And he's a star on that defense because he covers up so much ground. Kendricks had a big game last week and can run. You know, Harrison Smith is the X factor. You can move him all over the place. He can play up near the line. He can play in coverage.
Trey Waynes was getting picked on, and then he comes up with a huge interception against the Packers. I mean,
and he played well last week. I mean, they're playing well on the corners. And, you know, Terrence Newman's a cagey old veteran. I mean, yeah, they're really good on defense.
Better than the Packers in that division, do you think?
I always lean to the quarterback. And, you know, they got the Packers in a good spot. The Packers are playing consecutive road games, and they're opening their stadium that day. And so, yeah, I mean – but yeah, they're in conversation. I think the Packers are still the best team in the league. I mean, the best team in the NFC. But Vikings will make it interesting.
All right. What about the Broncos? We're all stupid for doubting John Elway. Trevor Siemian looked great against the Bengals. I mean, throwing the deep ball pretty well. That was a nice touchdown to Demaryius Thomas. They run C.J. Anderson running the ball effectively, and that defense is also disgusting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Is I've told this story, but when I went out there in the summer. You know, I had heard all this Siemian stuff and, you know, asked around and said, come on, really? And both Kubiak and Elway told me when I was standing, just me talking to them, you know, because they could, so they're not going to.
They're not sugarcoating it.
They said, no, he's legitimate. I said, he's got a legitimate chance to start. And I remember I tweeted it out. I sent it out. Trevor Siemian has a chance to be their guy and maybe even more than that. And I got just blasted. You're crazy, falling for it and everything. Because I watched him practice and I came away impressed. But I didn't think he had what he had in him, what he did against the Bengals. I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised. And I know the Broncos a little bit are surprised that he was able to do that, what he did. I don't think you can count on that all the time. But, yeah, the Broncos are legitimate. And again, people were trying to rate the Raiders over them. No. People were trying to say the Chiefs. No. Some were even trying to say the Chargers.
Me. That's
no. Nope. I know. and that Broncos defense is really good. And you got pass rushers, man. It's a pass rusher league.
Yeah. And look, they get a real chance over the next month or so to really put some distance in that division because they get the Buccaneers on the road this week. Tampa feels like they might be a little gun shy against some tough defenses. They get the Falcons at home. Then they get the Chargers, Texans, and Chargers, Texans, Raiders in the span of 4 weeks. So if they get through these two next games against the NFC South, all of a sudden you have 3 division games, including 2 against the Chargers. You could end San Diego and you could put some space there, and then they close out with two later in the Chiefs. So, I mean,
by the way, let me correct something. Sharif Floyd did play. I was wrong about that.
Okay, no, that's fine. But look, the Broncos are playing a physical brand of defense, and their offense is better than it was last year. So there's no reason to think that this team is not capable of doing what they're doing. All right, Eagles.
No, he didn't. I'm correcting myself again. He didn't play.
Right, well, we'll issue a correction in the back page of the CBS.
I was right.
You were right. Yeah, correction.
And I corrected myself. We'd like to
issue a roughing the passer podcast correction.
No, I corrected
was correct.
Myself like an idiot. That, usually, your instinct, like when I make my picks now, that's my first instinct. I'm not going to overanalyze. It's just going.
Are you buying or selling the Eagles as a legitimate 3-0 team? Defense is really good.
I'm not buying because of Carson Wentz. I'm buying because of the defense.
And, Fletcher Cox is a bad man.
Oh, he's playing out of his mind. I mean, look. Everybody wants to focus on a quarterback, and that's all well and good, and you should, because this is a quarterback league. And without him, they're not any good. But let's not lose sight of the fact that defense and Jim Schwartz have done a great job with him. I mean, Fletcher Cox is killing it. You know, Brandon Graham is playing great football. I mean, then you get McLeod on the back end, who's maybe one of the most underrated additions in the offseason of any team. I mean, he gives them a great flexibility back there with Malcolm Jenkins. So, they're legit on defense, and Jim Schwartz has done a great job. Now,
Would you rather have Jim Schwartz or Josh McDaniels as a head coach next year?
I'd want Josh McDaniels.
Schwartz would be a good choice.
I can't believe that's coming out of my mouth, by the way. Yeah, you know me. I killed him when he was a coach at Denver for a lot of reasons.
Doesn't put you in a weird room alone.
But if I'm a GM right now, I mean, that's who target number one for me as the head coach is Josh McDaniels.
Where's Schwartz ranking that? I mean, because remember, he took over the Lions and he did a pretty good job with a franchise that has traditionally been pretty terrible.
Some guys might be better off being coordinators.
He's a passionate fella.
I like Jim, and I used to talk to him on a regular basis. Then he became a head coach and he got surly at times. But I think Jim's a good coach. And, you know, he'll get another shot. He'll get another shot, no doubt. Again, another of the guys from the Fisher tree that when they do get a head coaching job, get with the times.
Yeah. Get an offensive – Schwartz needs to get an offensive coordinator who opens it up.
Right.
And leave him alone.
Because Stafford threw it around. But, you just got to – you can't just – become Mike Mularkey and want to run the football on every play. So
the Titans are terrible to watch.
Well, they ran for .181 and scored 10 points. That's all you need to know.
They're literally handicapping Marcus Mariota and making him a worse quarterback. It's horrible.
I think he's thrown 4 touchdown passes, and 3 of them have come in the fourth quarter when they've been behind.
Their offense looks great. Like, they were carving the Raiders up when they're moving down in the no huddle. Just do that the whole game. You don't have to run the ball. It's so frustrating to watch because – and I'm not saying Mike Mularkey should be Bill Belichick, but a team like Bill Belichick doesn't say, I'm going to run this offense and this is how we're going to run it. He looks at the matchup and says, okay, this offense is going to work better against these guys. Like, look, we have Jacoby Brissett. We're going to run some freaking Navy plays. We're going to run the read option because, that's what we think the Texans could be vulnerable to. Mike Mularkey should look at that Raiders defense and say, okay, you know what? They stink. We're going to run no huddle and let Marcus Mariota wing it around, and we're going to score some points, and we're going to beat this team. They're just better, but he can't do that. And that is a inherently stupid fault in him as a human being.
I agree with you. I think it's a bad offense. But back to the Eagles real quick.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, the Eagles have their offensive line. When they came in, you thought Kelce and Peters would be the stalwarts because they're the veterans, but the other guys have played really good football. And Brooks has played well, and Lane Johnson's played well.
That Lane Johnson suspension is really, what the hell's going on with this? Is this guy getting suspended or not?
Well, the interesting thing about that is Alan Barber is playing, the guard, and he would move the tackle, and he's played well at guard. So they'd be weakened at 2 spots if he gets suspended.
Well, no, I mean, I think if you lose Lane Johnson, you lose a lot in terms of that offense. I mean, especially 10 games, right? I mean, it's very bizarre. Like,
Doug Peterson's done a fantastic job scheming up things.
Who would you – all right, right now, 3 weeks into the season, we should wait one more week, but I think it's interesting.
Mike Zimmer.
Zimmer and then Peterson and then Belichick, or Zimmer, Belichick, then Peterson?
Zimmer.
Belichick doing what he's done with no Tom Brady.
Peterson, yeah. Zimmer, Belichick, Peterson. But Zimmer's done it without – the quarterback, without Adrian Peterson, without his left tackle the other day. And not only that, He's beaten the Packers and the Carolina Panthers and beat one of them on the road.
No doubt about it. No, he's been – look, I think those are the three guys right now. The Peterson thing that gets me is first-year head coach, rookie quarterback with 612 passing attempts. And I tweeted that Doug Peterson was a lock to win it. And people are like, you didn't – what about Belichick? It's like, it's week three. Relax,
guys. I think Zimmer's the – well, you know, here's the other thing about Carson Wentz and the young quarterbacks. You know, now there's a book on you. Now we'll see what you could do.
Yeah. Look, the Steelers game is impressive. All right. What is wrong? I like this weekly segment. I'm going to ask you what's wrong with certain people or things, teams. Like, what's wrong with pumpkin spice lattes, Pete? And you can rant on those.
They're overpriced and they taste like crap. How's that?
just like the Cleveland Browns. What's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals? We're going to have to get some drop music for this. Like, what's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals?
What's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals is Carson Palmer's not playing well.
Four drives for Carson Palmer on Sunday against the Bills were all ended in interceptions.
He is not playing well, and that's, you know, they're turning the ball over. That's always a concern on that side of the ball. So, yeah, I think that's a big problem. I think the right tackle is a big problem. DJ Humphries, he's had his issues. The right side of the line is a big problem. So that's on that side of the ball. And then you want to go to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, they're not great on defense right now. And I think a lot of those guys are struggling to get back to what they were. And you know, I love Honey Badger. Love him. And he's starting to get back to what he, as a player, he's starting to get back to where he was. But, you know, Peterson's playing great football. And they haven't been bad on defense. Buchanan hasn't played as well this year. That's another guy. I mean, and so, yeah, they got to get going. They got to get going on both sides of the ball. Yeah, they're too talented not to.
All right. What's wrong with the Carolina Panthers? These are all 1-2 teams, in case you're not picking up on the 1-2 Super Bowl contenders, by the way.
Well, what's wrong with the Carolina Panthers is they didn't address their tackle spot. I mean, look, I get it. You played well through the season, and you got those guys through, and you know, Michael Orr and Remmers did a decent job at times, but then you saw what they truly were in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's who they are. And so far, they've had problems protecting them.
Especially against two teams. And look, maybe the two best defenses in the league, but against two teams with really good defensive end play in the Vikings and the Broncos.
And Remmers wasn't awful the other day, but Michael Orr was terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. And that's going to be a problem for them moving forward. I mean, they got to be concerned about that. That's a concern. And I think on the defensive side of the ball, you're playing those young corners. And those guys are getting better. I mean, you know, Bradbury's really getting better. And I think he's, as the season moves on, he's going to be a good player. But they're rookie corners, and people are going to go after him a little bit, you know. So that means you better rush the passer. And I'm not so sure they're great rushing the passer. And that's going to be a season-long problem. I mean, you know, Coney Ealy's got to get it going. This is a guy in the Super Bowl. Everybody saw, okay, well, next year he's going to be ready for his big year. Where is it?
Yeah, he played 20. He played really well in 20 snaps in the Super Bowl, but that ain't playing 16 games as a starting defensive end. The good news for the Panthers.
I mean, he doesn't have a sack this year, and Charles Johnson doesn't have a sack this year, right? If I'm not mistaken, I don't think either one of them.
No, they don't. The Panthers have two sacks from defensive ends, and I believe it's Mario Addison and Wes Held.
It's Mario Addison and I'm not sure who is the.
I'll tell you in a second, but it is not. It's not good.
No, it's Mario Addison and
there's a couple of guys researching some stats on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Nobody loves it better. It's let's see.
Is it LeVar Edwards?
It is LeVar Edwards. Good call, Pete. Thomas Davis, Trey Boston, and Vernon Butler and Star Latulale also have a sack. But, I mean, that's six sacks in three games. Not great, Panthers.
But that's just it. They're an edge rush team, and when they've been good, they've been able to rush the passer and cover up for their secondary. Well, you know, that's a problem. And Kirk Coleman, I've always thought he was a liability, and he's been a liability this year.
Yeah. The good news for them, though, at Falcons versus
that's
Falcons.
A tough game this week.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. But Falcons are on a short week, and it's not a hard travel. At Falcons versus Buccaneers at Saints, you're at least getting three games where you're not going to face quite as much defensive
Well, the good news is the division stinks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the Panthers, I think these next three games, first of all, the Panthers need to win all three of them because they're 1-2, but their losses are to the Broncos and the Vikings. So I think that we'll see them get right in these games against the Falcons, Buccaneers, and Saints. But look, if they stumble here, they got Cardinals, Rams, Chiefs after that. That's some more pretty good defenses. What is wrong with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Or do nothing. We just... That's who they are.
All right, that's fine.
That's who they are. They blew clock management at the end of that game, and
that's so tough to do. Like, to have to sit out for 3 hours, but you should also be – shouldn't you have a scripted freaking game plan?
Well, and the comments from Dirk Koetter to me, I mean, he admitted he screwed it up. I mean, I got to give him a lot of credit for that. He said he got caught up in the emotion and he thought he had a good play called and he wanted to run it and not call timeout, even though this is a team that hired a situational coach. Yeah. And he was screaming in his ear, timeout, 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 and he ignored it.
Was he really?
Yeah, but if you hire him, you got to be able to –
Yeah, the whole point of hiring is you listen to him.
And, you know, during the summer or spring, I wanted to talk to the guy and sit down with him and talk about what it's like to be a situational coach. And Dirk wouldn't let me. Really? And I told him, I said, Dirk, why not? He said, well, if you talk to him, then everybody's going to talk to him. It puts a focus on him, and he's going to take all the heat, and I need to take the heat. Well, Dirk's taking the heat now. And he made a mistake, but I give him a lot of credit because he absolutely admitted he did, came out and said, look, I botched it. I was caught up in the emotion. I thought we had a great play, da-da-da-da-da. But it's not that hard. And in fairness to Dirk, they all blow it. Why can't you just think ahead? You put yourself these – and Belichick, and I'll go back to – he's arguably the greatest coach of all time.
Almost.
He's in the conversation for the greatest coach of all time, and he blows situations.
He won a Super Bowl thanks to screwing up the clock.
Right. Well, yeah, and then in the playoff game that year, he screwed up the clock against the Ravens, and it almost cost him as well. I mean – look, the bottom line is none of them are prepared for it because they get caught up in the emotion. It's a curse of the NFL coach. Emotional coaching is dangerous.
Like, you're coaching on the sidelines. It's not like – I mean, you got 100 things going on. I mean, that's a hard job.
But it's a hard job, but it's not – you know, you're not going into somebody's head and fixing their brain. You're not doing heart surgery. It's football. Just think ahead. We all sit there and think ahead. Why can't they?
Yeah.
I mean –
Look. The cutter thing is concerning because that lightning delay, like that game didn't start back up until the night. It was a 4 p.m. game, I believe, for the Rams. There was a lightning delay, and then the game didn't start back up until the Sunday night football game was on. I mean, you have to go into that delay and roll out your script of games that you're gonna roll out your script of plays and say, here's how we're gonna score, and then run those plays. I don't understand that.
Well, right? And then the quarterback, you know, acted like he had never been in that situation before.
Yeah, that's weird too.
So I don't know. It was a bad clock management, but they're not that good. Come on,
Will. And they got a tough stretch here too. Broncos at home, at the Panthers, and then they get the 49ers. But it's a back to back road game, and you're traveling after you play Carolina and Denver. So you're going to be beat up all the way to San Francisco, and then the Raiders at home and the Falcons at home. It's a very, very dangerous little stretch here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But maybe they're just not good. What is wrong with the Cincinnati Bengals?
What is wrong with the Cincinnati Bengals is they had a brutal schedule. I mean, that's what's wrong with the Bengals. You open at the Jets and you pull that game out. Then you go to Pittsburgh. That's a tough, tough game. And then you get the Broncos, the Super Bowl champs at home, and you lose. I think they're missing Vontaze Burfict, and you know he's the guy that gets their defense juiced up.
He'll be back this week.
And I think they're missing Tyler Eifert in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And when they get those two guys back, they're going to be fine. They'll beat the Dolphins and get the 2-2 and off they go. That's still a talented
hey football. But now look, 2-2, if you beat the Dolphins on Thursday, then you got 10 days before 10 days before the Cowboys on the road. That's a winnable game, but then you got to play the Patriots a week after that, but then you get the Browns and the Redskins at home. This is a 4-1 stretch for Miami, for Cincinnati to get to 5-3 and be in pretty good position, right?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's going to get it cranked up. I really do. I think they're too talented a football team not to. Of the 1-2 teams, I think they're going to – their division's tough now, so it's going to be tougher to do compared to what Carolina faces in division, but I think they'll get a chance to get it cranked up.
All right, let's pause very quickly for a quick commercial break.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Okay, now we're going to look at some teams, Pete. Dead or alive, this is the back end of the segment, just gnawing on, hanging on. We're going to look at some teams that didn't start the season so hot. Dead or alive, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dead as in playoff dead or just...
Yeah, dead as in playoff dead.
Six games against the division left. They're not dead. In a bad division, they're not dead.
Are you regretting your decision to pick them as the division winner?
Right now, yes. Doesn't mean they can't win it.
Last week we said, what's wrong with Blake Bortles?
Here's what's wrong with him. His mechanics stink. The design of the offense stinks, and he's making bad decisions.
Oh, you mentioned that last week. I can do it if you. I don't want to steal your thunder because it's your thing. But I think it would be interesting to go back and look at similar Bortles throws from last year to this year and see if he really is winding up more and more.
I did it last week. I sent some of them out on Twitter.
You didn't write a story about it.
No. Okay. He's clearly
elongated in his delivery.
Elongated and wider and his feet are bad and he's predetermining where he's going with the football. It's not pretty right now.
Is it possible? I mentioned Barstool, Big Cat, and PFT Commenter. Is it possible? You know, he does a weekly podcast with those guys. Is it possible, Pete, that he's spending too much time on Pardon My Take and not enough time in the film room?
No, I think he does the work. I think the design of the offense is bad, too. I mean, you got weapons out the gazoo on that team. I mean, you got mismatch weapons. You should have on the field at all times. You should have Julius Thomas flexed out with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson and bunch them up and pick and rub and everything else. And I sent out a formation today on Twitter where they had 9-10 guys in the box.
Yeah.
I mean,
is there any chance Gus Bradley gets canned if they lose in London this week? They play the Colts.
No.
No.
And I'll tell you why. If you fire Gus, and this is just, I mean, let it play out. Sure. If you fire Gus, what are you going to do? Hire Doug Marrone?
Yeah.
Okay, so say you hire Doug Marrone, and he's got 12 games left, and he goes 7-5 in those games. Everybody's going to say, well,
you got to hire Doug Marrone.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously clearly not the guy that the GM would want.
What about Les Miles?
No, come on.
I like that idea.
Josh McDaniels should be the target first and foremost.
And
if it's not Josh McDaniels, they should go get Mike Smith.
Mm. Josh McDaniels would be an interesting hire there because
Did you ever seen Mike Smith's record at Atlanta?
I have. We've talked about this a lot. He's good. He's a good coach.
His record's fantastic. He's got ties to Jacksonville. He has ties to Dave Caldwell.
Tom Coughlin's old defensive coordinator. Worked with Dave Caldwell in Atlanta.
No, he wasn't Coughlin's defense. He was Jack Del Rio's defense.
Jack Del Rio, excuse me. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's got ties to all that. Don't look at Tampa Bay's defense and judge Mike Smith on what
that's. Also, Mike Smith has a history. I mean, I think it's a good history of getting out of the way of his offensive coordinator. The offenses were good. I mean, he coached up the defense in Atlanta, and that's what you need. You need somebody to coach up the defense. Now, do these guys on that defense in Jacksonville fit his scheme?
No, they're not big like that. But you could make that work. Yes, with Malik Jackson inside. Yes, and Marks and those guys. Look, the young defenders are getting better. You know, you're starting to see Fowler get push and pressure, and Gogway, the defensive end, is starting to get some push. Telvin Smith is playing out of his mind. Puzlesny's playing very well. I thought you'd have to take him off the field, but he's playing very well. Malik Jackson's playing well. I mean, they played good last week. They didn't lose the game. The offense lost the game. The offense needs to be better.
All right, dead or alive, New Orleans Saints after Monday night's their defense is humiliating.
They can't stop anybody. It's way too much pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, he has to be perfect. It's bad. They're terrible. They'll score a lot of points. Drew Brees is gonna be good for fantasy, but that team is garbage. Dead or alive, the Buffalo Bills.
They are
playoffs dead. For the playoffs.
Dead.
Okay.
They're not any good. Not coached very well. They're not very good.
I love the Patriots -4.5 this week because I think one of those two quarterbacks will be ready to play. Rex Ryan just blew his load, blew his emotional load.
Don't you think Garoppolo will play?
Yeah, I think Garoppolo will play, and I think Rex Ryan got his team hyped up for the Cardinals game, and now they're going to be due for a letdown even though he's playing Belichick.
Jimmy needs to shoot that thing up and get on the field.
Just let Edelman play already. Dead or alive.
You know what? Part of me thinks that Belichick would like to play Edelman just so he can show that he can win with that, too.
And to beat Rex Ryan, get Rex Ryan fired for doing Edelman, he'd love that. Dead or alive, the New York football Jets.
They're not dead because their defense is really good, but they're on life support because Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't good.
That is one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen.
I kill the guy on a regular basis. I don't think he's very good. And that's what you get with him. You get one performance that might tease you a little bit, and then you get reality the next week. Now, yes, it's 6 interceptions. That's got to happen a lot, but he's not a very good quarterback. No. And I just look back and think, when everybody was pining for him in New York. Remember?
God, I wrote 50 stories about it this offseason. It's so stupid. God, it's the dumbest storyline of the year. Sorry.
They're not a good team.
I get amped up about it.
What's that?
I get amped up about it because it's we spent all offseason writing about whether Fitz would come back or not. And then he looked great last Thursday against the Bills, but he's garbage. Threw six picks.
He's not good. They're dead, but they'll be hanging around like a 8-18.
Dead or alive, San Diego Chargers. 1-2 after they should be 3-0. It's so
they should be 3-0.
So annoying.
They should be 3. They're not dead. Phillip Rivers will keep them alive.
Okay. And then finally,
plus they get the Saints this week. That's always a tonic for your getting your scoring going.
Oh man, Rivers going to put up some points. Dead or alive, the Miami Dolphins and your boy Adam Gase.
Dead. They don't have any talent.
This running back situation is so frustrating.
They need to let Gase and Bobby Greer run the football organization.
So you're saying Mike T ain't doing it? Ain't kidding?
Yeah. I mean, look at the talent on that team. It's not very good.
Yeah. I thought they losing that game to the Browns would have been extremely, extremely bad. By the way, the Patriots, 2-game lead, guaranteed to be in first place no matter what happens this Sunday against the Bills, because every other team that AFC East is 1-2. Tom Brady hadn't even played yet. Burn it all to the ground, AFC East. All right, we're done here. We'll be back Thursday with Nick Costas. Pete and I will be back next Tuesday. Thank you for listening, as always, to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Subscribe via iTunes, via Stitcher, however else you may get your podcast. Thanks, Pete. Always fun.
You got it. Take care, Will.